Now, Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
Light the fuse and run now, brother, because you ain't got a lot of time. Don't you act surprised when it all goes to hell on your dime.
All right, I'm going to get back into the college debt repayment thing here in just a minute, but I just want to play a soundbite for you. Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House paid professional liar, was talking about Dr. Fauci and how it's unfair for us to attack him in light of all of the things that he told us lies about are now turning out that we were right and he was wrong the entire time. Oh, hold on a second. I got to push the button. There we go. There we go.
So I do want to speak to Dr. Fauci because the political attacks on someone like Dr. Fauci, who and public officials more broadly, but Dr. Fauci, who has spent his career saving lives, and whether it was the AIDS epidemic or as we are just coming out of this COVID, this once in a generation pandemic, these attacks have been counterproductive. They have not been helpful.
Oh.
This is someone, again, who has spent his almost entire career fighting for the well-being, the health of the American people. And so,
you jackwagon, how do you even sleep at night knowing you're just telling straight up base lies, just baseless lies? Unbelievable. Dr. Fauci has failed forward his entire career. And he lied to America. And he funded the creation of this virus. And it was being done outside the light and transparency of the law. And as a result, it was being done in a haphazard way. And it got released. So in a large part, this is his fault. And then he championed all of the things that we did for the first time ever in a pandemic that were the opposite of what we've done in the past that didn't work and destroyed lives and destroyed livelihoods forever. And she talks about the other officials. They did the same thing. I would ask you, is this forgivable? In all honesty, I would ask you, is this forgivable? Because I got to tell you, the entire pandemic would have been utter uncontrollable, pathetic hell had it not been for the Tiger King documentary on Netflix. Other than that, it was absolute hell. I mean, other than that, it was absolute hell. And most of it lies at the feet of this dude. Is it forgivable? Is there anything that these officials, like look at even locally, like with our schools, these dumbasses, that in the face of the quote-unquote science we were supposed to follow, when the science we were supposed to follow went against what they wanted to do, they continued dumbly and blindly following a false and concocted and dishonest narrative that profited Big Pharma, kept them in control, gave them power and relevance, and ruined the lives and development of our kids, created a massive mental health crisis in America that is still ongoing and we still don't know the full ramifications from it, set back our children's learning, destroyed small businesses, cost people their jobs, their careers, their military service, their health care service, all of these different things. Is it forgivable? What would it take now that we've been proven right? Mask mandates didn't work. The vaccine is questionable. Never should have shut down the economy. Now that all of that stuff has proven that we were correct with that, that we know that they overcounted deaths, that it was never as bad. Why did they overcount deaths? This goes back to what I talked to you about yesterday. That was about fear. They had to have fear so they could run a theater candidate from his basement about fear, because they had to shut everybody down. They had to terrify everybody. They had to divide everybody against each other. They had to do all that to take out Orange Man Bat. No, I don't believe that the virus was released purposely. I believe what I told you all ago. Dr. Fauci is so arrogant, so condescending, and so narcissistic that despite failing massively with the AIDS epidemic and being able to succeed through that, despite himself, he was so arrogant that no questions about the ethics of gain of function research ever entered his mind. And as soon as he got an opportunity, he went around it. That gave us the virus. And it turned out to be an unbelievable happenstance gift to the left that hated Orange Man bad, which Fauci was a part of. So, to me, what would it take to forgive these jackwagons? Well, they'd have to, I don't usually advocate for this, but Fauci's got to go do another job. I mean, I'd rather him being saying, you know where Fauci needs to be? Do you want fries with that? Or do you want hot or mild sauce with your tacos at Taco Bell? That's where Fauci needs to be. Fauci needs to be in the drive-thru window asking you if you want hot or mild taco sauce in the Taco Bell. Or he needs to be in the drive-thru window asking you if you want Arby sauce on your roast beef sandwich. That's where that little lying turd burger needs to be. What a jackwagon. Anyway, all right, back to the issue at hand. I have texts from you about college debt, because the arguments began today before the Supreme Court on paying off college debt. $400 billion the president wants to give, $10,000, $20,000 if you had a Pell Grant, debt forgiveness of college debt. 8200 says, Leland, I'm sorry, but people need to pay off their student loans before they get a luxury car loan, a mortgage, a $1,000 phone, shoes. I don't buy $1,000 shoes, but I get it. You wanted the college-educated lifestyle to pay it off first before any luxury. That's wisdom right there. That's wisdom, 8200. That's wisdom. How about Brent, who writes in, hey, Leland, learning to pay off your own debt is part of turning into an adult. It's part of their education. Aha! More wisdom. 8149 says, hey, Leland, I didn't go to college. Just give me the money, LOL. What about people that chose not to go to college, right? All of this falls on the taxpayer. So what if you went to welding school and you paid your way through and you didn't go to college, so you didn't incur all that debt, but now you're expected to shoulder the cost in the form of decreased buying power in your wages because this goes on to the national debt? That punishes hardworking people. That's pathetic. Leland, I suffered through 5 years living like I made $25,000 a year while I made $110,000. I suffered with nothing. I starved. I bought a $2,000 car to pay my mortgage, 30-year mortgage off in 5 years. Now I laugh because I can work as a Walmart greeter to pay my bills and taxes with no mortgage. God bless you. I'm going to come back to that one in just a minute, but I'm going to go back to this other one here. 6542 says, Leland, you haven't started the segment yet, so they sent this right before the start of the hour. But here's a good starting point. I've paid for several college educations, a BS in mechanical engineering, that'd be mine, 3/4 of an undergraduate degree plus doctorate in pharmacy, 3/4 of an undergraduate degree plus doctorate in physical therapy. Those last two are still paying me, their dad, back for their portion. Okay, so his kids had to pay him back for their portion. They need to have skin in the game. I love it. We never asked for anyone else to help. We just got on with chasing our dreams. Chaps my hide that now the government is going to take my money to pay for some other kid's education in things like take your pick of the subject. Underwater basket weaving. So let's use that as the starting point then. Wait. I want to go back into this other one here. I actually came across, let me see if I can pull it up. This doesn't have, it's not specifically about this issue, but it kind of is because it ties in. Let's see if I find it here. Okay. This is really cool. So I came across this, I don't know why, I look at trucks a lot on Instagram. Like I'm fascinated, I'm obsessed with trucks. I love trucks. And so I have a lot of those in my trucks in my Instagram feed. And this one popped up, and it's this girl who, I guess, is obsessed with Tacoma pickup trucks. And I took the time to read the caption. It says, nobody could have told me that when I started my YouTube channel about trucks 3 years ago, it would have led to this. So she got an award, I guess, for hitting 100,000 followers or whatever. Ever since I was a kid, I've had this remarkable obsession and fascination with Toyota trucks. I started I stared at everyone that I saw on the streets. And I dreamed that one day I could roll across the desert in my own. I worked 5 summer internships and a job during my last year in college to save up to buy my own Toyota Tacoma, and the rest is history. And now she's a YouTube star. What I love about that was that, and I don't know, college debt, whatever, I don't know. I just know that this is a person who embodies everything that I love about America. This person saw something they liked, obsessed over it, decided that was their life's goal, and then turned it into success through relentless hard work. This is being erased from our American DNA as we speak. It is being erased from our American culture as we speak. One of the things that I love about America is that people can come from all over the world and they can make something of themselves because of the freedom that we have. And again, I've told you before, I'm libertarian. When it comes to immigration, I want a strong, secure border, but I want a lot of people to be able to come here because I don't view the economy as a finite pie. If you are productive, you're helping everybody. If you want to come here and work, if you want to come here and work your ass off, if you want to come here and commit crimes, get the hell out. If you want to come here and live off the dole, get the hell out. But if you want to come here and work your ass off and make something yourself, I say the more the merrier. I'm the guy that likes more people at the party. Bring it on. It's not a finite pie. So one of the things I love about America is that our DNA is made up of this mishmash of cultures from all over the world that just want one thing, freedom, control of their own personal destiny. That's what makes America great. This girl embodies that. We're brainwashing that out of our students and our kids as we speak. And this whole boondoggle of this corrupt, decrepit jackwagon of a president that we have trying to use your money and my money to pay some other kid's college because they can't seem to find a humanities degree position. So now they're slinging Frappuccinos at the Starbucks and then doing TikTok viral videos, crying in the corner, sucking their thumb about how the world is against them and the patriarchy or what the hell ever. Like, I'm sick of that. And the issue with the paying off the college debt, it blows my mind because I'm like, why don't we fix that? Like, I agree. It shouldn't be so expensive to go to college. I agree. So how do we fix that? All right, let me go back. This is, I want to play this audio again. I'm going to play the whole thing, and this time I'll, this is, so MSNBC is like, how is this fair? How is this fair to Miguel Carnona? He is the Secretary of Education. Listen to his answer.
Right. You know, as the president said, we believe it's fair. It's based on the pandemic. We know that after national emergencies, when loan payments are paused, when it's time to restart the loans, there's up to 20 times the amount of defaults that you would normally have.
Okay, why is that? Because that which you subsidize, you get more of. So if you subsidize people not having to pay their loans back, what do? They don't pay their loans back. Okay? So this is an admission of failed policy. But the other part of what he said here was it was because of the pandemic. That's why we're doing this or whatever.
Right. You know, as the president said, we believe it's fair.
Hold on, let me go back here.
We want to prevent this. This is why we proposed targeted debt relief of $10,000.
Okay, so we want to prevent this by giving people the money to pay it off. Okay, so get this. This is a comedy of errors. The first portion of his statement is, we admit that our policy is terrible, so we're going to do another policy just like it that's even worse. What kind of nincompoops do we have running? Dude, if I was in charge of America, I would eliminate the Department of Education right now. That dude's fired.
Or $20,000 if you're a Pell recipient to help those folks get back on their feet. And as far as folks who say, you know, I already paid my debt, well, that happened prior to the pandemic.
Oh, tough noogies, right? Now, this, by the way, this prior to the pandemic thing, this is all part of a well-constructed lie. The supposed authority that the president used to do this in the first place was an act for emergencies that was passed after 9/11 that was like, hey, we got first responders who went in and they financially were their response to save lives was actually detrimental to them financially and health wise. And so we're going to help them out a little bit. That's what that was for. There's nothing in there that indicates that that could be used for the pandemic. But the president did it anyway. And he doesn't have the authority to do that. They took too broad an interpretation of that. What's interesting, where is this? Yeah, here's CNN calling out Joe Biden saying, and I love this. I love this soundbite because they're actually using Joe Biden's own words against him. This is CNN. I can't believe this. CNN is using Biden's own words against him and Pelosi's own words against him.
The president himself in a CNN town hall in Milwaukee last year questioned and actually laid out the limits of his authority. Listen to this.
I'm prepared to write off the $10,000 debt but not 50.
Mr. President, let me ask you,
because I don't think I have the authority to do a plastic opinion.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. She's going to continue here, but I just want to point this out. I'm prepared to do 10,000, but not 50. Because, and why? Because I don't think I have the authority to do it with a pen. Well, then how do you have the authority to write a $10,000 check with a pen? Like, where in the Constitution it says President of the United States can write a check up to and no farther than $9,999.99? What the hell? In other words, he knew at the time that it was illegal, but he was doing it to buy votes.
The president himself in a CNN town hall in Milwaukee.
Go ahead.
Then Speaker Pelosi said this in 2001 about the limits, again, of what you can do without an act of Congress.
Pelosi bought 9,000 malfunctioning.
People think that the president of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone. He can delay. But he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
So here's what we have. This is an amazing thing when we talk about how unfair this is to you and to me. We elect representatives who are supposed to go and pass laws. If this was so incredibly popular, and not just popular with a specific segment that they were looking at. This is so funny, man. It's like when you look at this stuff from a 30,000-foot view, you start to see what they're doing to you. You know, when you step back and you look at the way we handled the pandemic from a 30,000-foot view, as things come into focus now, you're like, holy crap, look what they did to us. And this is a perfect example. The president started talking about this in earnest right before the midterm election, and he dropped this right around August. Now, this was all designed to get a specific segment of the population to vote because they typically don't vote very often, and that is young people, college students, and so on and so forth. And it worked. They showed up in droves, and they almost reelected Democrats in control of the House, and they cost the Senate. And now, there's a lot of other factors in there that have to do with bad candidates and so on and so forth. So he could have been bad. But anyway, the point is that it worked. They stifled what would have been a red wave. Okay, so when you look at that from that 30,000-foot view, you're like, holy crap! Because they say it was popular. It's popular. It's a popular. Is it popular? Because if it's popular, guess who would be voting for it? The damn Congress. If it was so freaking popular, the damn Congress would be all over it. They'd be like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this because everybody wants it. Whoa. That's what they do. They do the easy stuff. They don't do the hard stuff. So it's not that popular. That's why they had to go around Congress. That's why they had to get Joe in between pudding helpings to do what he did. I have some audio of steel workers in Pennsylvania. Those are supposed to be Joe Biden's buddies. They're not too happy about this. It's a pretty cool flashback. Plus, your texts on this issue. It's got you fired up. We'll get into that when we continue as well. I am Leland Conway, 630 KHOW.
And now, back to more Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
I love Education Secretary Miguel Cardona's admission that their policies with regards to the pandemic didn't work, so they're just going to do more of the same kinds of policies.
You know, as the president said, we believe it's fair. It's based on the pandemic. We know that after national emergencies, when loan payments are paused, when it's time to restart the loans, there's up to 20 times the amount of defaults that you would normally have.
So doesn't that mean that the idea of paying or pausing the loan payments doesn't work? Because you get 20 times the default you would normally have.
We want to prevent this. This is why we proposed targeted debt relief of $10,000 or $20,000 if you're a Pell recipient.
So we're going to give away more money because giving away money in the first place is what caused the problem. I had some audio of Pennsylvania iron workers that were upset about this, but I went back and listened to it. It's like really hard to understand. But the bottom line is they were furious because these are guys that work in the blue collar industry that supposedly Uncle Joe is supposed to be all about. And they feel slighted because they realize that they don't have thousands and thousands of dollars of college debt. And as a result of that, they are going to be shouldered with paying for it for a bunch of people that had made bad choices. Right. So let me back up a little bit because I want to make this point. I see the point of the left when they say college is too expensive. I see that point. we can find common ground on that. But my mindset is always problem solver, right? Like, I'm like, okay, well, how do we solve this? Like, we have a problem. And this is the thing that blows my mind about politics. And both parties are sometimes guilty of this. But it's using problems as an opportunity instead of actually trying to solve problems, which is what we hired them to do. We hire leaders to solve problems. But instead, problems are what make leaders important. And so if they can keep the problem around while supposedly making the pain of the problem less, but if they go away, the pain comes back, the problem stays there, right? You see the racket there. That's the racket Congress has figured out. We'll just keep throwing money at it because certain constituents, certain groups that we want to vote for us, they will all be eased of the pain that our policies are causing them, and they will be under the impression that if they go away, that pain will come back because we're never going to solve the problems that our policies are causing them. That's the racket. Okay. Once you understand the congressional racket, then you understand what they're doing to you. Once you understand the presidential, the political racket in America, then you understand what they're doing to you. So let's say that as Americans, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, somewhere in the middle or independent, whatever, but maybe whether you lean left or you lean right, we all agree that college is too expensive. So let's start there. How do we solve this? What is causing? Okay, the first, how do you solve a problem? The first thing you have to do is figure out what's causing the problem, and then you have to cut that off, right? You have to end what is causing the problem. That's step one. So here's the problem. College is too expensive. What's causing it? Well, there's a couple of things, right? Number one, we have a number of degrees being offered by colleges that are worthless. Flat out, monetarily worthless. They may make you feel good about yourself. They may make you feel affirmed about your political beliefs. They may be indoctrination in political beliefs, but they're not monetarily useful. They're not capitalistically agreeable. They're not something that you can make money on. They're not. There's no ROI to them. And we have an inordinate number of those kinds of classes/majors/minors in colleges. And they employ a lot of highly paid professors whose job it is to just brainwash kids and sit around and do nothing and pretend like they're important. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is that the government backs all the loans. So this is actually the bigger of the two problems, because the college is knowing that the government will back whatever loans they pay, they go and get, or a student goes and gets. They can continue to add useless non-monetarily payback degrees. And they can continue to indoctrinate kids, and they can continue to charge inordinate prices for something that's nowhere worth the money that it costs. They can continue to do that ad nauseum because the government is going to back the loans, and if the kids default, they still get their money. So those two problems are feeding the beast. So what do we have to do? We have to starve the beast. Do we agree? If you're a lefty, do you at least agree with me? Right? Like, I came to your point. Okay, I came halfway, and I said, you know what? We have common ground. We both agree college is too expensive. Can you at least agree with me that the best way to solve a problem is to stop what's causing it? Because if you don't, you're an idiot. Okay, so those of you that are on the left and are intellectually honest, I know you know I'm right. You may not be willing to admit it. You might be white-knuckling the wheel of your Subaru right now and huffing steam in your face mask as you drive too slow in the left-hand lane in the express lane, headed back to Boulder to do some dumpster diving in your Subaru. You might, but you know deep down in your heart of hearts, you know that Leland Conway jackwagon is right. You know it. So we agree there. Okay, so let's move on. How do we solve that problem? Well, number one, I would say to the colleges, guess what? Your endowment has $50 billion in it, University of Texas. You back your own damn loans. The taxpayers are no longer here to be your backstop for underwater basket weaving and lesbian cake baking. Not that there isn't anything wrong with those lesbian cake baking classes or the underwater basket weaving. They're perfectly good classes. And I think if you want to have that class, take that class, I'd actually be very interested. I'd be very interested in either of those two classes. But it's not part of a degree, and I don't want to loan you money for it because it's not going to pay you back, right? If you want to take the class, take the class. It's a good class. You should take the class. I'm very interested in both of those topics, but I don't want to loan you money for it as a taxpayer. You do that on your own time. You pay for that on your own self. So 100%, what we're going to do is we are going to stop backing the loans as taxpayers, and we are going to ask the universities to back their own loans. And then if the university wants to do that class, more power to them. And if they want to loan that to the student and the student defaults, guess who it hurts? It hurts the student who made the bad decision and the university who made the bad decision. And that solves the problem, because guess what? Universities are not stupid. They're not going to loan money for bad returns on investment. They will protect at all costs their endowment, because that's what allows them to have their cushy jobs. So you will start to see universities pare back on those superfluous, ridiculous, asinine, unimportant degrees. And they will start offering degrees that actually help a student make money to pay it back and better themselves and control their own destiny and build a retirement and set up a situation where their kids are better off than they are. That's what will happen. Can we agree? Of course we can agree. All right, let me see here. Texts. 57739, text Leland to 57739. Leland, looks like the number one qualification for this administration was incompetence. I think you're right. Leland, can 8200 says, Leland, can we at least pay off actual four-year college tuitions and not, like, fake online educations? I just don't want to pay off any of them. I want people – there's a whole other angle on this. Wait, let me get to that in a second. Leland, Jimmy here. I'm a teacher, been doing it for a while, and I work with some youngsters who are just dying to get their $10,000 paid off. They're making fair money. They're not starving. They chose this degree and this job. They need to pay their blanking bills. That's where I'm going to go with this next. Okay, so let me just talk about this. I had to do all of this stuff the hard way, and I'm glad I did. There was a quote on the wall in my gym the other day that has stuck with me. I posted it on social media, but it stuck with me ever since I saw it, and I can't get it out of my head, and I freaking love it. And the quote is something to the effect of, actually, let me see if I can find it, because hold on a second. Let me go back here. Wrong one. I need to read it. I need to read it right, because it's really stuck in my craw. Here we go. All right, let me go back here. Here we go. Here it is. This is it. This is the quote. It never gets easier. Never. You get better. Stop looking for easy. Do hard better. Now, I added to this quote myself. I said, easy is a myth. It's a lie we tell ourselves to avoid going from good to excellent. Hard gets seemingly easier when we work at it. So we should keep looking to do the hard thing better. And before we know it, we're making excellence look easy. All right, what's my point? Life isn't supposed to be easy, and it is not fair. Part of what builds your character is having to deal with obstacles and challenges put in your way and figuring out how to overcome them. For me, one of those obstacles was how to pay my way through college. I went to an expensive private university, and my parents didn't help me at all. And I knew going in that that was the choice that I made. And I made some dumb decisions, but I figured out how to get it done. And it was hard, and there were long nights, and I was working two and sometimes three jobs and 40 and 50 hours a week while carrying a full load in college. I was doing everything I could to make ends meet. And that ambition and that drive and that innovation, all of that stuff helped me get better. And it led to, I'm not going to lie, I've been pretty successful in my life. I've been blessed beyond my ability in my life. But it's because my father instilled in me, and my mother, my father instilled in me a work ethic where he told me, he said, Leland, you can't control the talent that God gave you. He's the one that chooses that. But no one but you can control how hard you work, right? We don't teach kids that anymore. And I'm not saying hard work is the only answer to expensive college. We've already addressed how we can make this better. We've already addressed how we can stop the bleeding. We've already addressed how we can starve the beast. We've already addressed how we can solve the problem. But in the meantime, if you have a kid who has a decent job and they have $10,000 in debt, freaking pay the debt off. Make the sacrifices you have to make to pay the damn debt off, because that's your responsibility. Because whether or not underwater basket weaving was ever going to pay itself off from an ROI standpoint, you still chose to sign on the dotted line. Therefore, you're responsible. You must do what you said you would do. And until we get back to a place like that where people are saying, wait a minute, I promised to do this. But it was unfair when I promised, but you still promised. It doesn't matter that it was unfair. It doesn't matter. You promised. But see, this is all part of the other issue that we have in society today where we're undermining the issue of commitment. Commitment in marriage, commitment in business, commitment in personal relationships, commitment in life, commitment to ourselves. We're undermining that. We're destroying the idea of objective reality and truth. Because when everything is relative, it becomes a lot easier to sign on the dotted line and then pretend it's somebody else's fault that you chose that. And until we start requiring our young people to make something of themselves, this problem isn't going to go away. So again, I'm talking about addressing these issues at their core. I'm talking about addressing these issues at their heart. I'm talking about addressing these issues where they start. That's problem solving. But then we have President McHairsniffer, Mumbles McNon, and he's running around going, you know, if I give $400 billion, I'll get some extra votes. And therein lies everything that's wrong with America politically. So let's hope the Supreme Court makes the right decision. Speaking of bad financial decisions, wait to hear about this lady who went viral because she's paying $289 for a car payment every month for 7 years. That's a pretty good payment, right? I mean, B-Large, would you say $289 is way less than average, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but wait to hear what car she bought for that. That's next. I am Leland Conway, 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. All right, later this week, Congressman Thomas Massey is going to join us. We'll talk about the corruption in the COVID vaccine, or excuse me, not the vaccine, the COVID pandemic handling by our government. We may talk a little bit about the vaccine, too. I don't know. We'll see. We've got Mary Walter reporting from CPAC, which is going on this week. So we've got that for you. And we've got a bunch of comedians at the end of the week, plus Twisted View. 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. One more text on the college debt thing. Al writes in, Leland, you're absolutely right, solving problems at the source. Parents need to be better. I have six kids, age 8 to 13, blended family. I guarantee any one of them knows what it means to fulfill their commitments and responsibilities. If they don't, they don't get whatever privilege or reward they thought they were going to have. Wow. Perfect, Al. Perfect parenting right there. It's the way my parents were. We had to earn privileges. That's the way it worked, and it instilled in us that set of values. All right. Woman goes viral. You'll love this, B-Large, for buying a car. $289 a month, 84 months. Like, that's a pretty good payment, right? Like under $300, I think the average monthly payment for a car now is close to $500. So that sounds good on the surface, right? Take a guess, B-Large, at what type of car she bought for $289 a month for 7 years.
Geo Prism.
1998 Ford Escort.
Oh, wow.
And she bragged about it.
Yeah, we're good.
She bragged about it on social media.
Because she was able to get it.
I guess. How in the world? And it wasn't even like I was thinking, well, this has to be like a classic. It's a 25-year-old car. It has to be like it has to be like pristine.
Right.
Right? Nope. It looks about as faded and trashed as you would think a 25-year-old Ford Escort would look. And she went on social media to brag about it. And now it's gone viral. Hey, you know what? Proud of you for getting your payments under $300, but for 7 years, you're going to pay on a car that probably wasn't worth $1,500. You could have done like three or four shifts. I could have done three or four shifts at the Pizza Hut and paid for that car, because that's how I bought my first car. $284 or $289 a month for 7 years for a 25-year-old car. It'll be 32 years old. Speaking of old vehicles, though, how about this one? Sometimes it is a good buy. Leland says $8,200. 1.2 million miles on my 1986 Toyota Tacoma, original motor and transmission. What? That's badass right there. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more shenanigans. Speaking of shenanigans, here comes my good friend Dan Kaplis with another great show right here on 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station.